My guest, Ron Wolf, Wolf & Associates Property Management here in the Tri-Counties. And I will mention that the 10-year smoke alarm he gave me is a combination smoke alarm and carbon monoxide. And it says ideal for the kitchen because it has this little button that if you inadvertently burn something on your stovetop and it goes off, it's kind of like a little reset snooze alarm. And I think there was a joke that some wife used to use a smoke alarm as her kitchen timer. She was a cook, not a good cook. Okay, let's. We got to run through a little more quickly on the rest of the assembly bills that we're talking about relating to real estate and renters and tenants. Ban. Oh no, we already did ban on rent gouging. Right. Now we're right to call police. I didn't think we needed a law to say that we had the right to call police. What's that about?
Now, it's two parts and relatively simple. It just prohibits local agencies from penalizing property owners or residents if they call enforcement to report domestic abuse or other crimes or emergencies at the property. It also prohibits landlords from evicting or otherwise penalizing any residents simply because they call authorities to get help.
I seem to recall some case where a woman, you know, was under domestic abuse. And there was some issue? Did some landlord try to evict her, and that's where this came from? Do you remember? Or?
I haven't heard that, but it's possible.
You know, I mean, you know, you get the police coming around, and you certainly need safety for women, and so
sure.
That's a good thing, and so that's a good law. I like that. Domestic violence and human trafficking. It's AB 2413. Another law. 3-day notices, an unlawful detainer. You always hear about this 3-day notice to pay or quit. What is a 3-day notice? What is that?
Well, technically, if somebody is not paying rent and you suspect that it's going to be a problem, you provide it or serve them with a 3-day notice. This bill changes the definition of 3-day a little bit to be 3 court days as opposed to 3 calendar days or 3 weekdays. So it's just a, the response time is 5 court days. Now these are not significantly common in terms of giving notices to residents, but it's part of the process if rent is not being paid.
Right, and it's rare when you get to that. I mean, usually you're talking, you're calling. It's not a standard operating procedure to issue 3-day notices.
That's correct.
Right, and so that's a good thing. You know, you don't want to give a notice on a Friday on a weekend. Maybe they're gone. Who knows? So it protects the tenant a little more.
Right,
it can't hurt, and so that's a good thing. And we always go through that with our escrows. You know, calendar days and. Versus, you know, weekdays and you know, can't close on a weekend. Okay, here is is employment law connected to the sexual harassment?
Yes, sexual harassment is coming under the employment law.
Okay.
And basically this expands the training requirements to businesses. Typically, it was for businesses with 50 or less employees, or 50 or more, pardon me. Now it's down to 5, or with as few as 5 employees, including temporary and seasonal workers. It also requires at least 2 hours of training for all supervisorial people and 1 hour for all other workers. And starting January 1 of next year, seasonal and temporary employees must also be provided with training within 30 calendar days of the hire date or 100 hours worked. So the focus on educating people as to what is involved with sexual harassment and how to identify it and prevent it is being enhanced with this law.
So this is an employment law, but somehow what made you bring this to the table being, you know, real estate and property management?
This affects all of the employees. Your resident managers are going to be affected by this. Your maintenance staff will be affected. Any of your property supervisors are going to be affected. So it's a pretty broad reaching.
Okay, good. Okay,
and
good.
Prudently done.
So certainly impacting your business. Expands the training requirements to businesses with as few as 5 employees. So if you have under 5 employees, then you're not covered?
In theory, you're not required to provide the training. You still have the legal exposure if you transgress.
Right. So you don't want to be on a technicality. And we certainly see a big hit on that. I'm in just shock about what happened with this Me Too movement and the big disappointment about certain people who have just, and I know there's situations where maybe it wasn't, there's arguments about, was it bad or this and bad, but when you got a guy like Bill Cosby, who just was my hero, just going back to the 60s at his record albums, guy's going to jail. Guy was just out of control. So that's a good thing, and we certainly don't want to see anything happening along those lines. My guest, Ron Wolf, Wolf & Associates, property manager in the Tri-Counties areas. So lastly, Ron, we're just coming up to the remaining 2 minutes. Was there something else you wanted to talk about?
If I could hit you with maybe 2 quick ones.
Okay.
Any people with balconies on their properties need to be aware that there's a law that's coming up that's going to require inspections of those balconies. So just be familiar. I was going to look for the actual law here real quick.
Yeah, I might have skipped that because I thought I remember reading that. And maybe I skipped it.
It's Senate Bill 721, and okay. Probably easier to just take a look at the bill itself. I know we're gearing up trying to negotiate contracts with inspectors just for the volume of properties that we have. But these were triggered by the balcony failures, one up in San Francisco. There was one in Isla Vista not so long ago, so it's an important one.
Yeah, I remember the one up north. I think I interviewed a local structural engineer to talk about the construction of balconies and the whole issue and wood and, dry rot and everything like that.
So prudent to do. And then one other, just a quick trend that I'd like to make people aware of. We're seeing more and more single-family homes being rented, which is certainly important to assist in our housing issues in this community. But owners who do that need to be aware that the codes for building single-family homes are a bit different than those for apartments. And things that are required by apartments may not be existing currently in the single-family homes and can create a liability if there's a problem. Specifically, these homes need to have deadbolts. They also need to be sure they have safety glass. And definitely, kind of closing where we started, have those smoke alarms in place.
Good way to circle around. And I would say, deadbolts and smoke alarms should be a given. But a lot of older homes might not have safety glass. And, you got a big patio door. And I don't know what you do. I mean, you just pony up and spend the money and save yourself the headache. But if you got to replace all the windows in the house, you got to have a heart-to-heart and figure it out. Because if you don't, I don't know if there's anything grandfathered in. Say, hey, we didn't have it originally.
That's right.
You got liability.
It's a definite liability.
And of course, coincidentally, Ron is announcing his new business as a glazier selling windows. Ron, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
All right, Ron. Thanks for the gifts. I got 2 10-year batteries, combo smoke and carbon monoxide. I might start smoking just because of this. Thank you.
Well, they probably come with a 10-year warranty. I'll bring you some new ones when these are worn out.
God willing, we'll see you in another 10 years. The rest of you stay tuned for the weekly Multiple Listing Sales Update.